from the time Sophia was in an infant carrier. Cokesbury Bookstore has been one of our favorite destinations. It wasn't at all unusual for us to spend an entire morning there. Even then, she would fuss about having to leave. But that was before they moved. Back then, they had a play area, and their children's section covered almost half of a wall. And the entire middle section of the store was dedicated to theological resources. When they moved to their new location, which was supposed to be bigger and better, it was only more convenient to get to. The play area was eliminated. The children's section was reduced to about two shelves. And they are willing to order you any theological resource your heart would desire. The problem is, you want to see it before you buy it. But all the arguments have never corrected that one. So, what's the point of driving all the way to Overland Park just to go to the store, right? Well, somehow or the other, it's still our favorite location. We keep going just in hopes that perhaps someday it will change. We just don't go there as often or stay as long. But there is one rule that has never changed. Whenever we go, she's allowed to pick out one book to add to her library, provided there's one that she doesn't already have, and the one she does pick out fits my budget. Now, there's one thing you have to understand. From the time she was old enough to hold a pencil until she was about 4 or 5, if you ask her what she was doing, she'd always say, "I'm writing my sermon." So one of our first visits to the new, improved Cokesbury Bookstore, she sat down in the middle of the section that should have the theological books, that have a few sets of books and a couple or three sermon resources, and she began to write. The store manager, who at the time knew her by name, walked up to her and said, "So, Sophia, what are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I would write my sermon if you had any good books." I suggested that she go look in the children's section. She walked over, looked, and she pulled out a book and handed it to me and said, "I want this one." Now, the only reason she wanted it was pink. I looked at it and I said, "No, Sophia, you don't need this one." She said, "I want this one." I said, "No, choose another." And she said, "I want that book." And I said, "Sophia, it's a Bible." And she said, "Yes, I know, and I want it." And I said, "You don't need a Bible." Okay, now, in my defense, she had a baby's first Bible, a picture Bible, a story Bible, and the one that she still carries around to Sunday school, right, Mr. Robert? She's confiscated it off of me. It's the real deal. She can't read it, but she carries it anyway. And so, you know, it wasn't that I wasn't telling her she didn't need the Bible. She just didn't need a pink Bible. And so she said, "I want that Bible." And I said, "Go write your sermon." To which she replied, "And how am I supposed to do that without a Bible?" The Bible, it teaches us everything we need to know. Now, Christians, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that exactly what the psalmist was trying to tell us? The one, the passage that Jim just read? Isn't that exactly what he said? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught them to me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, how many of you are that in love with the scriptures? The psalmist was telling us that the only thing we need is the word. The word will guide us in everything else. So if the scriptures hold that kind of power, if they contain what we need to know, if they have the power to change lives, and even to redirect the course of history, then why do we modern 21st century enlightened Christians shy away from them? I mean, survey after survey has proved that the majority of Christians do not even open the scriptures during the week. And if you're one of them, you're in the majority. Why do we begin meetings without consulting the scriptures first? Why do we make decisions and never once say, but what is God saying? Now, friends, I have a problem. I have a big problem, and I'm ready to make it yours. The rule in our house is that no one is used as an example in one of my sermons unless they give me permission first. So when I asked Sophia if it was okay to recount the story of the pink Bible, she just shrugged her shoulders and said, sure. And then we started talking about what she was learning in first grade. At one point, she told me I wouldn't understand because it's first grade stuff. Then she said, but you know what? We haven't talked about God or Jesus yet. Why not? So I explained to her that we sent her to school to learn about reading and math and science and social studies and how to speak Spanish. But we come to church to learn about God and Jesus. Then when we come here, there'll be someone to teach her. Now here's the dilemma. If we adults don't learn what's in the book, if we continue to shy away from it and not intentionally study the scriptures, who will teach the children? Let's not blame the public school system because our kids don't know how to pray. Let's not blame them because they don't know the stories of our faith. Look around. We're at fault here. If our children can come here Sunday after Sunday, or any church for that matter, and not know the stories of the Bible, if they grow up in Christian homes and never see a parent open it, never discuss what God wants, if they never say a prayer at home, let's put the blame where it belongs, and it belongs right here. And that's my problem. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to answer their questions? How will God possibly change their lives if we don't tell them? On the other hand, just imagine what will happen in our lives and in their lives, in the life of this church and in the entire world, if we dedicate ourselves to studying the scriptures and growing together, it can happen. It will happen. All we have to do is study the word, share the story, and offer it to others. May his light illumine our lives and guide our paths. I wonder, are they going to know the stories? To God be the glory. Amen.